Blog Talk Radio. Another episode of All Out with Mother Sotara Becky. Yes, I am your host, Mother Sotara, and tonight's show, I have a very interesting guest. Her name is O'Shawn the Poet, also known as Letitia Wilkins. She's an author, novelist, and award-winning poet. She's been published in magazines, newspapers, and blogs from actually all over the world. She has reformed her viral poem. It's called Pac's Life in honor of Tupac, so that's why I picked that song for tonight. And she performed that for Seth Shakur, Tupac's sister, and actually the mayor of the Queens of New York, at an event honoring the late hip-hop artist. And some people don't know who Tupac Shakur was, but unfortunately he was murdered, and so it was actually on... basically a hip hop artist. I guess a kind of a street war. So from when they did induct him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, she actually has three highly successful self-published novels. She's the owner and behind OTP Literary Services. So she is kind of an all-around woman, and I'm very excited to have her on tonight. O'Shawn, hi. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. So go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Excuse me. My name is Letitia Wilkins. I go by Ocean the Poet, and a lot of people don't know where I got the name Ocean from, but I actually got it from a Nigerian goddess. If you're familiar with the Yoruba religion, Ocean is an actual celebrated goddess over there, and I chose that name because I felt like what she stands for as far as femininity and fertility and peace and everything and love, I felt like it perfectly described my poetry. And I've been writing poetry since I was like 9, but I really started going public with it in 2010. And it wasn't until last year that it like really just got really crazy for me.
Wow. Well, I know one of your biggest poems is about Tupac. How did that inspire you?
Oh, my goodness. I love Tupac. So when I was a kid, I actually did, like, listen to all his music and everything. And I think I might have had a little crush on him as a kid. I took it really hard when he died. I think I was about 6 or 7 years old. I took it kind of hard. But anyway, once I got older, that movie Poetic Justice that he played in, which has Maya Angelou, you know, saying most of the poems in that. And she's one of my bigger inspirations, too. And so I just felt like, you know, I started reading his book, The Rose That Grew from Concrete. And I started realizing, like, wow, he has really inspired me so much in my poetry. And I just wanted to pay homage to him. And so after I did the poem, I didn't expect it to get as many views and everything as it did. And that, for 2 weeks after I released the poem, I don't know if you're familiar with manifestation, like really letting your thoughts become what you want to be in life, like really meditating on something. So I started thinking, like, what's the dopest thing that I could do with this poem? And, you know, since he's gone and his mom's gone, I was like, the dopest thing I could do is perform for his sister. So I actually performed for his sister by luck.
Wow.
Yes, I went to this event, and I was just told that it was like a volunteer event, and it was honoring Tupac because he had just gotten inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so when I went, they was having a poetry contest. So I was like, oh, man, I want to do it. But the contest already had people in it. You had to sign up, like, weeks prior, so I didn't know anything about that. And so I recognized his sister, and I was like, oh, my God. And I went up to her, and I talked to her. I was like, your brother is a big inspiration for me. Like, I would love to perform this poem for you. And so she went up to the host and asked if I could perform it. So after I performed it, she got up and cried and hugged me. It was like, can I please have this poem? And, you know, she's the president of the, well, I think she's the president or assistant for the Tupac Shakur Foundation. And so I emailed her the poem and everything that night. So, yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. What a great story that, you know, just, I'm a big person with that too, that just kind of put it out there in the universe. And
yes.
If it's meant to be, it's, it, you know, we manifest it. And that is very cool. Oh, so what prompted you to begin writing poetry?
I feel like it's always been in me. Like, I didn't really start focusing on it until I was 9. You know, of course, once my vocabulary expanded and everything. I think I was one of those Matilda kids. You ever seen the movie Matilda?
Yes.
And, you know, when she goes around reading all the books. And so I was like that. And as my vocabulary expanded, I was like, man, I want to write stuff. I want to write rhymes and stuff. And so I did it. Like, when I was a kid, I used to have, my nickname is Woo. I used to have the Woo Show, which I would perform in front of my dad and my mom and my brothers. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, I have, like, so many notebooks and notebooks on top of notebooks of poetry. That I always feel like if I was to stop writing today, I could still release at least 3 poems every week until I'm like 45 years old, and I'm 28 now. So, I mean, it's just something that like really helps me. I feel like poetry is therapy for me. I like literally write every day. So I just get my inspiration from anywhere. I like write a poem about anything.
Now, how do you juggle that? Because I know that, you know, you're a mama, you're a wife, you're a poet. I mean, you just have so much. How do you juggle all that?
Well, I juggle it because, like, my husband, he is, like, awesome. So, like, right now, I'm kind of in the midst of stay-at-home mom. So, like, he's very awesome with, like, helping me juggle everything. And, you know, that gets a lot of weight off my shoulders, although I do, you know, wish I could help him a lot more, but, like, he's so supportive, and my kids are, too. Like, my kids, like, they'll be quiet, like, Mama, are you making your talking videos today? Like, you know, so it's really fun.
And how old are they?
I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh, my goodness. So you have your hands full. They're still little.
Yeah, they're spoiled. They're spoiled.
Well, enjoy. It goes way too fast. So definitely enjoy the time. Oh, my goodness. So where do you normally write? Like, how do you able to sit down, you know, when you have the kiddos?
Like I say, I can literally write anywhere, any place. Like, you know how some people, like, they need a quiet place or they need a desktop to work at? That's not me. I work best in adversity. I can work while the kids are playing wrestling, while my husband watching his games, while I'm outside. I mean, I literally write anywhere. Like, it's no place that I can't write. So I just feel like, you know, for me, they say when you love what you do, it never seems like work. So for me, it's like I said, like, poetry is, like, really therapy for me. I can, like, do it anywhere.
Nice. Well, tell me a little bit about, I know you've published 3 different books that are out there. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, so the first book is called Nobody Else's Love. It's about a female military vet that suffers from PTSD while dealing with betrayal and finding love. Now, you know, PTSD, she has flashbacks, hallucinations. So, I mean, for her to find love while she's dealing with all that is ridiculous. And for someone to love her back while she's dealing with all that is ridiculous. And I wrote that in 2014. Actually, I was a correctional officer then. And when I used to, well, I hope ain't none of my ex-supervisors listening, but when I used to, like when we used to put the inmates on lockdown, and so I used to write then, like I wrote that book in like 2 months, and I was only writing it while I was at work, when I worked overtime. Now, that is the only book that I have released as of now that's a fiction novel. The other 2 novels are poetry collections. Letitia to Ocean, Thoughts of a Street Poet. That's my second novel I released, and that's more of like old diary entries for me from when I was a kid up until I got older, with a lot of poems from when I was a kid up until I got older. So it's like really showing my transformation from just being Letitia, then taking on this stage persona, and like when I started performing in public, you know. So really showing the growth and maturity and progress in my poems. And so the last one, Flow Like Ocean, Book of Haikus. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. But that's like 30 pages long. And I originally wrote it just to submit to poetry contests. But a lot of my fans were like, oh, you need to release a book, you need to do this. I was like, oh, man. And I had won, like, you know, a few little monetary prizes for the book. So I was like, okay, I'll release it. So I released that, I want to say, about 2 weeks ago. And it's only, it contains about 25 short poems. And actually, honestly, it has not sold not one book in America. All of those,
wow.
The books for Float Like Ocean, I haven't sold not one in America. All of them are from Africa. Like,
oh my goodness.
And I know, and I just feel like it was a reason I chose that name. And most of my fan base are the Yoruba people, the people who do believe in the goddess Ocean. And they told me that they're glad that I chose the name Ocean the Poet to bring awareness to their culture and everything. And I was like, oh, my God, they're making me feel like a celebrity, and I'm barely known. Like, I'm not as popular over here in America where I live at as I am overseas, like in Africa, in Cairo, in Jerusalem. That's where all my fan base is mostly resides. So
wow,
I guess you can say
overseas. Well, that's very cool, actually. I like that.
I know, right?
Wow. It's definitely different, you know. Wow. So I know you said you before, I guess, I don't know if it was before you became a mom, but you were a correctional officer. What other jobs have you done?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. I have, like, done everything. I used to be in the military. I was a food service specialist, and then I was a military police officer. And so then once I got out of the military, I decided I still wanted to be in that kind of organization where I had a, you know, basically I felt like the military or being a police officer or being a correctional officer was the same formality. So I started off applying for state officer jobs and everything. I didn't get those, so I went into being a correctional officer. And when I got married, my husband wanted me to resign because he felt like it wasn't a good place for his wife to be. So, of course, I did what my husband asked me to do. And after that, I went back to my dream of working with animals for a little bit. I have actually went to school for veterinary technology. And so I was working with animals for a little bit, but then it just got too much for me was seeing the death, and then like some of the ways like people were treating the animals. I was like, I don't know if I really want to be in this kind of industry anymore. So that's when I really, really started taking my writing seriously and like started doing online writing jobs and gigs and started my business up with the literary services where I edit other people's works and, you know, help college students out and help with reading comprehension and everything. And yeah, so right now I just solely run my business from home while juggling my kids and my school and stuff. But it's cool because my husband, he's just awesome. He just takes care of a lot.
No, it sounds like you're very blessed. That's very cool. Oh, wow. Well, I know you're branching out about wanting to be like a motivational speaker and kind of public speaking. If in an ideal world, like, what would you like to talk about?
I've always been told, and here I go talking about my husband again, but I've always been told by him and everyone else that I'm too optimistic. It's like, oh, man, you know, you have your pessimist, your realist, and your optimist. I've always been told that I'm bubbly and too optimistic about everything, you know, and I feel like that can be a blessing and a curse. Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, like, I shouldn't be thinking like this, but why not think like this? Like, it's better than to feel like the whole world is going to crash down on me, you know? It's better for me to always look on the brighter side than for me to feel like the world is crashing down on me if I don't do this, if I don't do that. And I've actually, you know, since I, like, really went public with my poetry, the thing that made me want to be a motivational speaker is, like, a lot of people email me and messaging me telling me about their problems. They want me to make it into poems. They want me to make it into books. They ask my advice. They're like, well, you overcame this and you overcame that, and how can I do this? And you just, you know, everyone, I mean, a lot of people come to me about any and everything. So I kind of felt like, you know, maybe I need to go to college and brush up on my public speaking and everything. And maybe this can be something I can do since, I mean, I do have a fan base and I do influence quite a few people. So I feel like it'd be good because, I mean, I feel like I'm a great motivator.
I could definitely feel the positivity vibe. And a lot of my listeners are single parents, which is, you know, we as a single parent, it is a struggle. So, like, what would your best piece of advice be for them?
The best piece of advice for a single parent would be to just remain optimistic and be positive. You know, just always feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel because you have your kids that are dependent on you. If no one else loves you or you feel like you're out and alone in the world because you don't have the financial help or the emotional support you need, look into the eyes of your children and know that that's the support you need. They depend on you. They love you. They don't care what you have, what you don't have. All they know is that you're their mama, or for the single dads, you're their dad. So I feel like, you know, when you look in your children's eyes, like, you should feel those positive vibes, those positive energy to push you forward, you know, not to make you feel down like, oh, I'm a failure. I don't have this help. I don't have that. How can I do this by myself? You know, a lot of us wish for the traditional family. You know, a lot of us wish for that. That's what we was brought up on. But sometimes life throws you curveballs, and it doesn't always end up that way. Like, my mom was a single parent, and she met my dad. My dad was actually my stepdad. And he helped raise me. Like, that's the only dad I knew. So I'm not saying that some knight in shining armor is going to come save the day and give you the traditional family. But what I am saying is never give up hope, not on yourself or your children.
I love that. That is true. I mean, I've been a single parent for a long time. I've been almost 23 years now. And people me, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know. It's my kids that, you know, keep me going. And unfortunately, with my last kiddo, he's 11 now, I was in a horrible car crash when I was 7 months pregnant. And I ended up actually paralyzed with a NICU baby. And I've had 28 surgeries since. And, you know, people try to say, like, well, how do you get through it? How is it hard to, like, kind of get to your rock bottom and look up? And I always just advise, like, you just need to dig deep. And those babies are dependent on you. And, you know, you just take it day by day. You can't, you know, take it more than that because then it will overwhelm you. But it's just, you know, being a single parent is a hard job. And it's that's no lie.
Wow. Oh, I have like tears in my eyes right now. I would have never guessed any of that. Like I get the bubbly optimistic vibe from you too. Like I literally have tears in my eyes. I would have never guessed that. Well, I'm glad you made it through and you use your kids as your drive.
Yes, definitely. They inspire me. So, I mean, what about you? What inspires you?
Honestly, my kids do. Like, they really do. They really are, like, so positive. And I always felt like I had a childlike imagination. So sometimes I'll ask them little questions. I love to play with them all day. I love to, like, you know, have tickle parties. We have dance parties. Like, sometimes when I miss the dance parties, I'll be asleep. They'll kind of wake me up. Mama, it's dance party time. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's time for you to go to bed, you know. So just the energy that they have, it's just so beautiful to me.
Aw, definitely. That is true. So tell me one weird fact about you.
Oh, my goodness. It's not weird, but it's very true. And a lot of people don't think it at all until I, like, let them know. So when I was a kid, up until from kindergarten up until after I graduated high school, I had a terrible lisp. Like, I slurred my S words terribly. Like, oh, my God. It was awful. I got bullied. I got teased. I got the fighting, I got jumped and everything because of the way I talked. So that was a lot of the reasons why I never, you know, did my poetry public or anything until I got older. And it wasn't until I was 19. And this is a crazy weird fact now. So I had got my tongue clipped. That didn't work. My slur ended up being worse. I went to speech therapy. That didn't work. They tried a little, they connected something to my ears or something, some kind of little hypnosis thing. That didn't work. And it wasn't until, I think I was 19 or 20. Me and my husband, you know, don't tell nobody because that was kind of underage drinking for me back then. I'm 28 now, though. but we were drinking, and he was like, babe, I know why you talk like this. And I was like, wow. He was like, because you say your S word from the side of your mouth. You're supposed to say it from the front. I was like, what? He's like, you always say your S words from the side, from the back of your mouth. Push your tongue up towards the front through your teeth. And I did that, and I cried that whole night. I was like, oh, my God. And every day for the next 3 months, we practiced tongue twisters and everything. And so, like, that just got my confidence through the roof, you know? So a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people. And, like, that's why I'm a big advocate. Like, I'm totally against bullying, teasing. I like to mentor kids that, you know, do have speech impediments or that, you know, have trouble reading, because that was me. I mean, it's hard to believe, but that was me. And now I'm just all over the place talking to everybody without a care in the world, you know?
So for any kids out there that are being bullied, what would your advice be to them?
My advice, you know, because, you know, in this day and age, you've got a lot of kids, and I've heard about it in the news, you have a lot of kids that are committing suicide because of this bullying and teasing. My advice is trouble don't last always. When you get older, you probably won't even see half those kids anymore. Like, I mean, you know, when you're a kid, when you're in middle school or high school, you think that whatever they think or say to you is the be all or end all. But once you get older, those things don't matter. So I just say, you know, try to suck it up and just push through. Remember, you are somebody. And I actually just did a poem about this, about my speech impediment and everything, called Beautiful, which is on my YouTube. But, like, you just really have to think that you are somebody. Like, I'm a big believer in manifestation. You are your thoughts. Don't let anyone get inside your head. I don't care what they say about you. Don't let them get inside your head. If you think you're Beyonce or you're this or you're an A-list celebrity, those are your thoughts. Those are what you harbor. Those are what you throw into the universe, and those are what you manifest. Don't let nobody take your aura, your vibes, your energy away from you. You cannot let anybody get in your head or in your thoughts, especially if it's bad. Now, if it's good, of course, but if it's bad, you should just, you know how you got your emails, they got the spam filters, the trash filters and all that? Throw it in the spam and delete it.
I like that. So true. Well, so, I'm almost 40, but it seems like with the bullying, it just, it's getting worse and worse. It really, you know, it's finally getting to the forefront where it's being addressed. And sadly, we just had a little girl, she was 13, commit suicide because of bullying. The only positive side is now the community has kind of rallied around the family and rallied around saying, you know, things need to change and, you know, our kids need help. So, I mean, I love that advice that you put out there. That's great. Okay. Well, let's see. My next question would be, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, my gosh. Your words have inspired the world.
Aww. I like that. There you go. Well, back in 2013, I actually had a near-death experience, and I was told that I need to go back. It's not my time. And so I feel like there's something else out there that hopefully will manifest and be that thing when I get there at the pearly gates that hopefully I fulfilled.
Right. So,
yeah, definitely. So what are you not very good at?
Oh, my goodness. As much as I like to think I'm very good at it, because I swear I do it all the time, I cannot sing. I like to think that I can sing because I sing in the shower. I sing when I'm cooking. I like mostly sing when I'm happy. I have lullabies that I've made up and sung to my children. And, of course, they like it because it's mommy's voice. But, yeah, I can't sing.
Oh,
I really can't. I mean, people try to blow my head up and say, oh, you got potential. No, don't do that, because once you say that, then I'm going to go get a singing coach and be spending all my money thinking I'm going to be the next Beyonce or the next Rihanna. So let me stop you right there.
Aw, that is too funny. Oh, goodness. So I know you're back in Virginia. How's the weather there right now?
Oh, it's actually very cold. I think it's like 28 degrees right now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here in California, it was like 85 degrees today. So.
Oh, my goodness. I need to fly out real quick.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I definitely don't miss the snow or the cold of that. I was a military brat growing up, and I was a military wife, and so I did my time, you know, going around. So definitely don't miss the cold. Oh, goodness. So tell me more about, I know you've been published in magazines and newspapers and kind of all over. What inspired you to keep writing and hopefully kind of get your word out there?
Oh, my goodness. I'm worrisome. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm worrisome. So right now my husband is my makeshift manager, but I still do all the work. but I'm really worrisome. Like, I will email people. I will call them. I will email. I will call. And I have a special number. I have my number is 3. So I got to do it at least 3 times. I feel like if I get rejected 3 times, then it's not meant for me to, you know, whatever. But if I don't get an answer the first time, and if I don't get an answer the second time, I'm going to depend on the third time to give me an answer. But I depend on the number 3. So I always keep pushing. I always, everybody that I, you know, try to get an interview with, try to get on the radio with, I always give it at least 3 tries before I give up on it. And so far that system has worked for me.
Okay, I like that. You know, I think perseverance is a great quality. And I think, you know, that definitely fits your vibe. So that's very cool. So what type of music do you normally listen to?
Oh, my goodness. I'm very eclectic. Now, I used to be really, and a lot of people don't know this, I used to be really into pop and country. So, of course, I love my Beyonce because this is my 3rd time saying her name. I used to love Taylor Swift, Britney Spears, all types of those. And of course, I love my hip-hop because, I mean, one of the main artists in hip-hop, Tupac, rest his soul, was my biggest inspiration. But I think I listen to, like, everything you could think of that comes on the radio, except for heavy metal. I don't really like heavy metal, but I'll listen to rock. Yeah, I listen to everything, honestly. But I think I would mostly, if I have to choose one, which obviously you can tell it's hard for me to choose one, but if I have to choose one, it'll be pop. Because, you know, you have, it's like pop is so easy for anyone from any of the other genres to migrate into. You know, it's anybody can be featured in pop. You have your favorite hip-hop stars featured in pop. You have your favorite country stars featured in pop. Pop is like the thing for me.
Okay. Now, I know you've mentioned Beyonce a lot. What is your take on the whole Jay-Z Beyonce that he came out and he said, yes, you know, I did cheat on her, but we're trying to keep the family together. Do you feel like kind of lost respect for her as, you know, as a woman that, man, she put up with it? Or, I mean, do you think like, all right, well, everyone messes up, you know, that he deserves another chance?
I feel like, you know, she's married. Those are vows. You know, if it was just her boyfriend, yeah, dump him. I mean, these are affairs she didn't really know about until, like, last year or the year before that. So it's not like she knew about it the whole time, all the years they were together. So I just feel like they're married. It's supposed to be for better or worse. And you just, you know, you know what you can take. You know, only you know your own heart, your own mind, and what you can take. I mean, I've taken on a lot of stuff that other people can't take, you know. So, you know, everybody has their strengths and their weaknesses. And I just feel like, you know, for her, if she can take that and they can repair that and they can do canceling and they can push through, then the sky's the limit. Because after all, that's her husband. That's not just a boyfriend or a baby daddy. Like, those are vows. And me, myself, I take vows very serious. Like, those are sacred to me.
Okay. That's fair. I like that. So where do you think you'll be in about 25 years?
Oh, my goodness. 25 years. I may be in a retirement home. No, I'm just playing. I honestly, and like, you know, like I said, I'm very optimistic. I set my hopes high. I really would love to be in a space, you know, how Maya Angelou was, because she's quoted everywhere. And like, I really live by her poem, Phenomenal Woman. And so I just really hope that one day that my poetry will reach and touch people and inspire people the way that hers did. Because after all, I've been doing poetry basically all my life now, and I'm only 28. So, and as the way it's going now, I can only go up from here.
Yes, very true. So do you have a book that's on your nightstand? Do you read?
Yes, I do. I do. I have The Lake House. Unfortunately, I've only read like 2 pages of it, unfortunately, because I'm stuck in my phone. On this book on Kindle, I'm stuck in my phone on that. And what is the name of the book? Lord, I can't even think of the name. But I have like a whole Kindle library. And sometimes I just download books and just read them on the go. And I think I want to say it's The Guardian. The Guardian by Nicholas Sparks. And I love him. Like, The Notebook is my favorite book and my favorite romantic movie. I just love it.
Oh, nice. Okay. If you had all the money in the world, where would you travel to?
My goodness, it would be Africa. I love Africa. I love everything about Africa, the culture. And of course, like, they show me so much love. Like, you know, honestly, when I did choose the name Ocean and like I started getting African fans, I thought that, you know, they may take offense to it, you know, because like that's their religion, you know? So I thought at first they would take offense to it. You know, I was like, oh my, that's why I put, like, her name, the goddess name is actually pronounced Oshun, but I pronounce mine as Ocean. You know, not to like seem like I'm hijacking their culture or anything, you know? But it'll be the same way as if somebody over here said, oh, I'm Jesus Christ the rapper to Christians. They would be offended by that, you know? You know, so when they actually embraced me and thanked me for bringing awareness to their culture and embodying their goddess so well, it like really freaked me out and just made me like do so much research on Africa. Like, I'm actually learning the Yoruba language so I can go over there in August for their actual festival honoring Oshun.
So
I would love to go to Africa. I think I might want to live in Africa one day. I don't even know.
That is so cool. Yeah, my son actually, he is 22, and him and his buddy are planning a trip there. And I think that is such a cool thing to know your culture and just travel. You know, life is too short to not see the world. So,
right.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you push through the worst times that you've been through?
Like you said, I pushed through, and I've been through a lot that, you know, I've been through some heartbreaking times. And I just feel like I've always been an optimist. I always felt like, well, this can't last forever. Like, if something bad happened to me at 10 years old, I'm like, I'm sure I won't feel this way by the time I'm grown, you know? So it's like I just always try to see the light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how small or tiny it be. I'm like, if I could just get a little closer, then I'll be there, you know, I'll be all right. And I meditate a lot. I meditate a lot. I wouldn't say that I'm a yogi or I practice yoga and stuff, but I feel like, you know, I'm kind of spiritual. So I listen to a lot of It's on YouTube. I think it's like frequencies, they call them, like frequencies that's supposed to make you have a positive, more positive attitude. You know the music people listen to when they're meditating, like the little bell dinging and the humming and everything. And I feel like that centers me a lot.
Okay. No, I totally understand that. Actually, my main hospital that I've had all my surgeries at is mainly Buddhist. And so they do that. Yeah, they do a lot of that. And they, when someone is passing over, they chant to help them pass over. And so it's actually quite interesting, quite, I don't know, I guess more of a spiritual, but it is an amazing experience too.
It
to kind
is.
Of go through that. Yeah, very cool.
You know what? I have something to ask you.
Yes, of course.
I challenge you to go look. Just go to the YouTube and look up positive frequencies or positive manifestations, and just listen to one of those frequencies. And I think sometimes they're like 20 minutes long or 10 minutes long, but it's like called like positive energy and affirmations. I challenge you to listen to one of those, and I promise you, you'll probably feel at least 10 times better after you listen to it. It's like some kind of subliminal stuff for me. You know how they say music has subliminals in it? That is too. Like, you know what? Like, because, you know, the world speaks to us in sometimes nonverbal ways that we can't hear. It's just like when a dog, you know how you have a dog and you have the little dog whistle and they can hear it and you can't? So it's just like that.
That is true, definitely. So if you had a chance to do a do-over in life, what would you do differently?
Oh, my goodness. I know what it would be. Okay, so what you mean by do-over, can I take anything that I've learned right now back into the do-over?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
It would be to talk correctly, honestly. But I honestly do feel like, you know, me getting picked on and bullied and everything, I honestly do believe that has made me more relatable and more sympathetic and more considerate of others. But if I could have stopped all the teasing and bullying and the beating on me and everything when I was little by talking correctly, yeah, I probably would want to do my life over without the lisp.
Okay.
And that's just the truth.
Now, do you think that made you a bigger and better person for going through that?
I do. I do feel like it has made me more considerate of others' feelings. Maybe a little too considerate. I can't stand to see anybody cry for anything. Mm. Like, it just, I don't know. I feel like it drains me, and I feel like I have to nurture them or heal them or something. I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't stop crying. Don't start crying around me. And, like, it's like when those times come, it just reminds me of when I was that little lonely girl crying on my porch or, you know. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it has made me a better person. But then again, I think that, you know, even before – you know, I started getting bullied and teased. I honestly feel like I probably would have had this mentality. Well, the bubbly, optimistic one. Maybe not the so being so considerate one, maybe.
Okay. That's it. Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but okay. So what was your most embarrassing moment so far?
Oh, my goodness. You want me to tell it on air? Okay. So one time I was, no, seriously, this is the most embarrassing thing to me. I'll never forget it. I was on the track team in the ninth grade. It was in the eighth grade. I was in the eighth grade. I was going to EWI Middle School in Emporia, and we had a track meet. Now, back then, I used to love wearing the little fake ponytails, the little drawstring ponytails. And we was running, and I was running so fast. And My whole ponytail flew off in the wind, and everybody laughed at
me.
And you know,
Yes,
and you, and it flew on the girl behind me. See, the way we was running, you know, when they post the pass, the baton. And my hair flew onto her, and even though we won, that's all everyone could talk about for like the rest of the school year. And I didn't even want to wear no more fake hair to school because I was so petrified it was gonna fall off.
Oh, and no.
I just knew I had that thing on tight.
Oh no! Oh goodness! Oh, what is a skill you'd like to learn, and why would you like to learn it?
Let me see, a skill that I would like to learn and why I would like to learn. I think most of my immediate family would like for me to learn how to cook a lot better. I mean, I can cook, but I think most of them probably would like for me to learn how to cook a lot better. But I think for me, the skill I want to learn, I would love to be bilingual, like maybe in like at least 5 different languages, because like, I meet so many people from so many different walks of life all the time, and some of them know me, and I can't understand nothing they're talking about. And so I get my phone, and I try to translate their words on my phone. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wish I could talk to them, you know? So, yeah, I would love to be, like, completely bilingual in at least 5 languages, Spanish, French, Yoruba, what else? I can't think of anything else right now. Arabic and I think you call it Patois or Creole, how the Jamaicans speak the broken English. Because even though they call it broken English, I still can't understand them either. So, yeah.
Okay, that's so cool. See, I would cheat. I was looking online, and there's a little earpiece that you can buy, and it will translate everything that somebody will say to you. So I've already looked into that for a birthday present.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so scared of the future. They're doing too much stuff with technology nowadays. I'm like, oh, Lord. It will be long before they try to turn people into robots. I don't like all the tech. I don't like to get too technical, honestly. Like, now, even though I got my books on my Kindle, I still rather order books. And, like, all of my books that I have written, you know how some people will try to type it on their computer and save it on a disk? What I do to proofread it, I write it all out on paper in my notebooks and everything, and then I type it up because I like to feel it. I'm not with so much technology at one time. I think it's too much.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes kind of going back old school is definitely the best thing.
I know, right?
You know, I like having, you know, books and books compared to just reading it on my phone or the tablet or, I don't know,
right.
Maybe I'm getting old, but.
I feel like our eyes aren't going to be that good once we get old, staring at these phones and TVs so much.
Definitely. Well, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I would love for you to go ahead and share your social media and how people can reach out to you.
Okay. So, you guys, you can check out my videos on www.youtube.com/C/OceanThePoet. And you do spell my name Ocean, O-S-H-U-N. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under Ocean the Poet as well. Again, you spell Ocean, O-S-H-U-N, and the Poet, of course. And I really appreciate you all for listening, and I appreciate you for having me on the show. I really enjoy it. It's so much fun.
Oh, well, thank you. I would love to have you back on again.
Of course.
Well, have a wonderful night.
You do the same.
Thank you. All right. I would like to thank all our sponsors, listeners, and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, and hearting us on all social media at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, hug those babies. They grow too fast. Own your choice. Namaste and good night.